Don't be less greedy, just be greedy about more areas of your life. Like you don't want to just be wealthy. You can be wealthy and have this awesome social life and have like great health and have, feel really good and an end. And balance between these things rather than just I'm going to go all in on one thing.
Entrepreneurs love talking about business. However, it's no secret there's also so many things they love talking about which are not about business. In the Sea of Business podcasts, none of your business is a refreshing break, a surprise kiss, an afternoon fizz. Through Carla Singson's cheeky and radical takes on mundane and principle-heavy topics, you'll gain insights that guarantee you something to talk about on your first Tinder date, while visiting grandma, or if you want to impress your new boss. Big thanks to Proximity Outsourcing for sponsoring this episode. Outsource the most tedious tasks in your business, such as data management, appointment setting, and creatives, for less than $12 an hour, fully managed. Visit ProximityOutsourcing.com for more info. Tired of business podcasts? Tune in to None of Your Business. New episodes weekly.
Good morning, everyone. And here we are again at None of Your Business. It's a beautiful Monday. It's super rainy here in Playa del Carmen. We are currently on this 10-day window of the year where it's what they say, hurricane season, but it's just really rain from like 4 a.m. to midnight. And the streets are wet. And everything is, most of places are closed or they don't do delivery. And it's just kind of another excuse to have a lazy time. But how it helped me is I was able to actually do a lot of creative work. Like the past 2 days, power was kind of in and out in our building from a tree that fell down, not really like the city, but just our building. And I was able to play my guitar again and read a paper book from like start to finish. And it was kind of cool. And I didn't panic. Of course, that's another magic and benefit of outsourcing and of course, systematizing everything. So on that note, we have a very special guest today. He is actually a friend of mine. He is one of my friends in one of my masterminds. It's called DC Dynamite Circle. If you want to check them out, if you love growing a location independent business, definitely check out Dynamite Circle. Kieran Browning is our guest today, and he is an efficiency consultant who has spent the last 4 years helping entrepreneurs, especially mompreneurs. So shout out to all mompreneurs out there. Maybe, hike the volume up a little louder. This is going to be an awesome episode for you guys. But Kieran helps mompreneurs, entrepreneurs streamline their systems and processes to free up over 20 hours a week of their time. That's a lot of free time, guys. And so his operations consulting services generally helps people from all walks of life and also helps them realize that they can apply the same efficiency concepts, not just in their business, but also their personal life. So Kieran, welcome to None of Your Business. How are you today?
Doing well. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, I'm super excited when you pitched this topic to me because I have had experiences when I would be talking to my girlfriends and they would be sharing with me how it is a struggle to also keep up with their personal life, their social life. Mm-hmm. And I love discussing these things. But first, introduce yourself to us. How did you get into this industry? What inspired you? And what other jobs led you to this path?
Yeah, so out of university, I was a CRM. I worked at a CRM consultancy. So I worked as a pre-sale CRM consultant. And CRM consulting is really process optimization most of the time. It's not like 30% of it's software. And I found that was quite helpful, quite useful, quite interesting. Like, kind of engaged me. And then read the 4-Hour Work Week. So that's a pretty cool idea. Eventually did that and then worked as a junior marketer at a digital marketing agency and then worked up to the marketing manager and then to the operations manager. And then from there, Started doing operations consulting for other digital marketing agencies, and then operations consulting just with digital entrepreneurs, particularly the mums who are the best clients and the most satisfying and the easiest to work with and just the best overall. But how I specifically, like how I really, really got into it, in 2018, I had severe sleep apnea and thought I was going to die. I had like no energy at all. And so I think in the 4-hour work week, there's a 80-20 analysis where the question is like, if you could only work for 7 hours a week, like what would you spend the time doing? That wasn't a theoretical exercise for me. I only had 7 hours that I could possibly work in a week to sort of narrow it down. And I just was terrified I was going to get fired. I was going to lose this job, miss out on the digital nomad opportunity, was going to have to go back to Australia, sort of lick my wounds. And at the time, I had no idea what the hell was wrong with me. I had no energy. What is going on? And so I just knew I had to get more done in less time. And even though I didn't think that I could standardize what I was doing, or that I could delegate to my staff, or that I was good enough, or I was smart enough, or anything else, I tried it anyway. It worked extremely well. And then I didn't work more than 12 hours a week from then on, ever. You know, I got rid of the sleep apnea about a year later, but that's what really was like, wow, you can really take this efficiency thing very far if you absolutely really go for it, which I did.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with you. And I'm like, it's crazy because you had to be faced with a moment of like almost being confronted with death, right? Like you could die. You know, this is like serious and you have to do something about it. But at the same time, you have to like make an income. And how am I going to do this? How am I going to get around to this? And a lot of people, there's so many books, so many practices, so many YouTube videos about time management, productivity, and things like that. And there definitely are certain questions that really ring, you know, over and over again. And I don't want people to have to be confronted with a life-threatening illness just to realize that, you know, they can systematize and they can really simplify a lot of things in their life. So I'm happy that you were able to really get to the bottom of it, and even lucky that you found that book. Obviously, that book has changed a lot of people's lives. So, let's start about your non-negotiables. So, what are your non-negotiables in terms of how you spend your days on a day-to-day basis?
Yeah, so I have to do my, yeah, so morning routine, start of work routine, end of work routine, evening routine. I have to do them. And, you know, so that's getting sunlight in my face for 10 minutes in the morning. That's meditating. That's journaling. What am I feeling? What am I thinking? What would be realistic advice to myself at this point? That's checking my calendar, emails, notes, really establishing a plan with clear priorities for the day. And socializing with other people and exercising, I guess.
Yeah. So how do your days look like? Is it like a schedule? Do you have like a schedule? Like, this is my lunchtime. This is what I do before lunch. Like, what does it look like?
Yeah, so I used to do time blocking, used to time block every 30 minutes of my life. It's not for everyone. But yeah, it's my start of work. So my morning routine's about an hour, just healthy stuff, going for walks, going to a cafe, doing some work from there after I get my morning sun, and then cleaning up, cooking steak and eggs for myself for breakfast, which is a fun way to have breakfast, watering my plants, and then going somewhere to really focus and do some work. Lunch, get lunch with a friend. After lunch, do some more work, do some calls. In the afternoon, go to the gym. Go to a sauna if you know, if the sauna's open, and then hang out with friends again for the evening. So two social events a day, and then later on do my evening routine at about 9 p.m.
Oh, I like that. Yeah, those routines are definitely super healthy because it takes the decision making out of your day. I'm personally a huge fan of that. My favorite is my morning routine. Also, same thing. I would sit at the new this there's this like kind of porch outside the gym. I would just sit there, listen to something and meditate and get some sun, and then I would work out, mostly because I love starting my day with movement. and it really gets the blood flowing. And that's when I also like maybe listen to a podcast or an audiobook or something. My other favorite routine is my nighttime routine, which is basically a beauty routine. But I think that it also, when I start my beauty routine, which is like 8 steps, it signals my brain to wind down, and it literally tells my body that it's time to sleep. And I've never had problems with sleep. I also don't drink coffee, so I guess that also helps. And I sleep straight for at least 8 hours every night. And so I am a huge believer of routines. It definitely sets your day right. And even if it's not, for me, it's just the beginning and the end. And in the middle is I'm more adventurous, I would say. I'm more like, I love schedules and all that, but I've also opened up myself to whatever the day would bring me, especially living in Playa del Carmen, Mexico, where there's so many activities that you can do. So I'm allowing myself to be surprised and be fascinated. So I guess it also depends, like my input on that is like, I guess it also depends on where you are in your life. You can definitely be as focused as possible, or you can also be as adventurous as possible, whatever you want. So, but it's always good to have non-negotiables. So you've shared in your career as an operations consultant that you helped business owners, especially mompreneurs, like really make their lives efficient. So obviously you help them with their business and you deal with the business side in terms of SOPs, project plans, KPIs, goal setting. And one of the things that would be a challenge for most of these entrepreneurs is how they can also maybe apply some of these principles in their personal lives. So can you maybe share with us some of your top strategies to in like approaching this mindset?
Yeah, so as you get better at implementing like operations efficiency in your business, which probably it makes sense to do it for your business first, free up some time, you can turn around and apply the exact same concepts the exact same way to your personal life too, right? So when you're setting goals, don't just set goals on how you can achieve more wealth. What about your health? What about your relationships? What about everything else, right? It's the same goal setting process. It's not a different process. It's the same process. But really starting to think about like, what do I want the rest of my life to be? And I say, don't be less greedy. Just be greedy about more areas of your life. Like you don't want to just be wealthy. You can be wealthy and have this awesome social life and have like great health and feel really good and an end. And balance between these things rather than just I'm going to go all in on one thing. So you set goals for that, make a project plan. So I recently did a boxing fight. I made a proper project plan for that. What's the objectives? What do I actually want to accomplish? What's the strategy? What's the purpose? What's the principles? All right, who is going to be doing what, how, when, where's the best resource I can do? What's the 80-20 analysis of doing a boxing fight? All the things that I would do for a marketing campaign, I would plan that out for this as well. And creating a to-do list for that. All right, I need to find this personal trainer. I need to read this book. I need to study this. I need to film myself boxing. I need to analyze that boxing footage. Just same way you would organize anything else. And then setting up a standard operating procedure for going to the gym to get the most out of it. Right? How do you actually go to a gym and like leverage it the most? Right? So before you go to the gym, all right, what's the number one technique that I just have to pester my coach. Like, I just want to focus on this thing. I just want to learn this as much as possible. And then trying to practice that and pad work and bag work, barring and everything.
I totally agree with you. The first thing and the first statement that I want to delve on is when you said that we have to realize that we can do this in all areas of our life, and we can maximize all this in a lot of areas of our life. And I think that is kind of like the big aha moment, right? Because as you said, a lot of people focus on money, or they focus on health, or they focus on relationship, but like you can have it all. You can do it all, and we're not asking a lot from you. In fact, we tell ourselves that we deserve all of this when we work for these things. So, why do you think the people have kind of a tunnel vision in terms of goal achievement? Why do people just pick one? Is it because it's easier, or it gives them an out in the other things?
Yeah, I mean, once you get really good at something, who wants to be bad at something else? Right? Who wants to be who wants to feel stupid when you're pursuing this other sort of goal clumsily and not have as much status around it or information and feel stupid to other people? Which is true, but whatever. What are you gonna do? Just not improve your life? So, that's part of it. Ego plays a role for sure. I think it's people just don't think about it, right? Like if you put in 20% of the effort that you put into your business into just getting your health, I'm not trying to give yourself an eight pack, just a little bit, just to make sure that you feel okay, which is a really achievable goal for most people in most situations, especially if you can listen to this podcast. Like a goal that would be so much easier to achieve, that would provide you with so much increase in satisfaction and energy, then I'm gonna quadruple the business again. So maybe triple the business and then set up everything else as well.
No, totally agree. Actually, one of the things that surprised me, you're absolutely right. It's like sometimes it's just you just want to shake someone by their shoulders and tell them like this is possible and you can do it. And it's definitely not that easy to convince someone of that too. The other thing that I realized when as I grew older is it surprised me and it shocked me how many adults have sleeping problems. Sleeping has always been kind of an easy thing to me, but I have so many friends who have problems sleeping or they have to take a pill to sleep. And it's crazy because you would think that sleeping is a basic like human function. But even in that small thing, if they could change that and they could sleep properly, it would, like you said, maybe it would improve their health 10%, 5%, 10%. And that will,
Way more than
way more.
10%. Way more than 10%.
I believe that too. It's a third of our lives. So that really surprised me that I reached my mid-30s and realizing a lot of my friends have to take a Xanax or an Ambien to fall asleep or like a really high dose of melatonin every night. It's insane to me. Realizing that.
The only thing more controversial in my life than my diet is sleep, and I wear a sleep tracking ring. I'm always rambling about how many hours of sleep did I get, what how much REM sleep did I get, how much deep sleep did I get, what was my breathing score, what was my sleep score. I track in the spreadsheet. People hate it. It's like, why would you do that? That seems dumb. Blah blah blah. Really, it's just cope. I'm not doing this thing, so I want to poo-poo someone else who is doing it. But people are not comfortable that other people like improving their sleep. It's a weird thing. It doesn't matter, but I don't care. Like, sure, sleep badly, go for your life, I guess. But people don't like it. But I mean, what did you learn about sleep at school? Nothing, literally nothing.
Nothing,
Not
yeah.
1 second of one unit of one subject. Nothing. And some people just don't think about it. Well, I just sleep and I sleep.
Yeah, exactly. We just think that it's an afterthought. And a lot of people actually think it's a nuisance. I have a friend who is a multimillionaire and his sleep is very bad. And every time and he's done all the NAD IV stuff and he would like pay for the most expensive personal trainer. And then I told him, "Please just fix your sleep. Like just fix your sleep. Start wearing an Oura ring." Like maybe slow down the caffeine. I told him everything, blackout curtains, white noise, just to like really help him out, buy these Egyptian cotton sheets and things like that. And then but for him it's just like it's a nuisance. It's like if I can still work, if my mind is still working, I'm gonna work or something like that, or he's gonna go out or do something else. So one day his doctor told him, "You will literally have a heart attack any day now because of how you're sleeping." And until then, he hasn't really like opened his eyes. So it's crazy. it's insane. By the way, short shout out, if you guys love this little conversation about sleep and you want to find out more, I have an episode with a functional medicine doctor about sleep. Definitely look for it. Just scroll up some of the episodes, you will find it, or you can type sleep Carla Singson and you will find that episode. Definitely give it a listen. So let's talk about entrepreneurs and how their experience with systematizing their business and their personal life. When I asked you about what challenges they might have, you said that, you know what, the challenge is sometimes they just don't do it. So, what do you think is the main issue, and where is the logical disconnect? If they know that systematizing their business helps their business, what makes them think that the same approach would not help, or why are they less inclined to make an effort on it?
So I think there's two different types of mindsets that people have. Your mindset is to either maximize return or to maximize return on effort, right? So maximize return on effort is how efficient people think about everything. And that is not a normal way to think. It's obviously the smarter way to think. But most entrepreneurs are just thinking about return. They don't even think about return on investment. It's just return, right? How do I maximize this thing? Not given the money it costs, or the time it costs, or the energy costs, or the opportunity costs, or the mental bandwidth costs, or what opportunities I'm not able to pursue because I'll pursue that. They just don't think like that. And so, if they work with me, they change that. But it isn't on their minds in the project plans that they make, which they don't make anyway. But if they did make them, one of the parts of the strategy wouldn't be, let's do this as efficiently as we possibly can, right? It just isn't in there. So it's a non-starter. Right? You don't begin or whatever. The other problem is that if you haven't had lots of experience improving operational efficiency, you don't know how to efficiently improve operational efficiency, right? If you don't have a lot of experience simplifying things, you don't have a simple way to simplify things. It just does seem extremely difficult and time-consuming, because if you do it, it is extremely difficult and time-consuming. Right. What would take you 4 hours to systemize would take me 12 minutes to systemize, literally. So that part can seem crazily overwhelming. Now, fortunately, every book on operations and time management is quite good. This is not an industry that is plagued with bad information. It's all pretty good, right? Having someone who can help you with it is absurdly useful. But yeah, they just don't bother. It seems too difficult. Is this really me? And then because it seems difficult, requires you to develop a new skill, which you haven't had to do yet, requires you to acknowledge some of your weaknesses, a way easier approach to that. Just being like, this stuff, it's not for me. I'm not one of these people. And you just come up with excuses to not do it, which sure makes sense. I get it. That's not a helpful way to think, and it's not going to make your life better. But I don't have to acknowledge that here's a new thing. It's difficult. It's kind of annoying. It's confusing. It's time consuming. I just won't do any of it. I'll just make my life worse, which is the, it's just, at the, you're, that, that's a large and welcoming community of people who have done that. So, you're not exactly alone, but look, what are you doing? It's terrible.
No, I totally agree with you. And if I may add to that, it's also kind of like an identity confrontation. I notice a lot of entrepreneurs, when they get into entrepreneurship, they take being an entrepreneur as their main identity. And then they think that when I'm in the business, I'm going to talk business. And then when I'm not in business, I'm not going to be in business. And in fact, there's an effort, and I experienced this myself. There's an effort to switch off that kind of logical, analytical brain, right? But if I also didn't put my social life, my lunch with my girlfriends, my Pilates, my date night on my Google Calendar, how am I gonna manage everything all together, right? Even like that small, simple thing. And I'm embarrassed to say this, but I actually just started doing that when since I started dating Alex, my husband right now. Because he kept like forgetting things, and sometimes I would also say things in passing that I know that he would like reasonably he would like just forget it, and then I would get annoyed that he forgot it. So we started to just put our personal stuff on our Google Calendar. Then I share my calendar with him and like my operations manager, and I'm like, oh my God, why did I just start doing this? It's insane. But one of my struggles was, when I would be in business, I would like business Carla. And when I'm at home, I want to forget everything about business. And I even make a joke about turning off my brain. And like, I tell my husband, babe, when I'm with you, I want to turn off my brain. I'm a dumb princess. And and you make all the decisions. I just want to be a princess. But you're right. Like, There's not like my husband wouldn't probably even have to think if we have everything systematized, right? And so that's we're working towards that, and it's also better for peace at home. So I think that is one thing that other entrepreneurs might also struggle with, kind of this identity thing. Like you don't have to change who you are. It's just like we're using the same strategies and techniques in some areas of your life. In the same way that we can use strategies in our personal life in our business. I've worked with a lot of parents who have started to have more empathy when they had children, and they were able to use that in the workplace, and it was so much better. So I like that too. Can you maybe share with us a huge kind of success story of one of your clients when they started systematizing their personal life and really synchronizing it with their business?
Yeah, sure. So one of the first, the third mompreneur that I worked with, so she came to me. She wasn't a mom at this point, but she said, "I'm pregnant. I will give birth on this date, which is in 6 months, something like that. I want to take 3 months off maternity leave, and so does my partner, and we both run the company." I was like, "All right, cool. Let's try and do that. All right, tight timeline. Let's try and get you 100% out. Let's not free up 20 hours a week. Let's free up 55 hours a week, because that's how many hours a week you're currently spending doing it." And so part of that was, all right, tell me, all right, well, do a burnout score, because you're my client and almost all of my clients are burnt out. So it's like, yeah, extremely high. It's like, all right, well, let's fix that first. And some of the real easy questions are, what's the healthiest, most energetic diet you've ever had that you seem capable of sustaining in the past? What was it? It was whatever. It was vegan. It was keto. It was whatever this other thing. But I meal prepped it, blah, blah, blah. Cool. What's the easiest way that you could implement that again? I could order from this thing that would deliver it. Great. Can you do that? Yes. Same question. Exercise. Probably yoga in the morning at this place that's like nearby. The instructor is okay, but it's kind of whatever. So like, cool. Could you do that? Yes. Great. Same question for diet. Could you do that? Yes. Right. So just what is the most efficient, easy, implementable, realistic solution you could do across all these different verticals? So for social planning as well, when is the last time you spoke to someone that gave you validation that the problems that you're experiencing, as privileged as they might seem to other people, are indeed actual problems? Yes, this is stressful. Yes, this is difficult. Yes, this is overwhelming. Yes, this is a lot of work. And yes, you do get paid a lot of money. And yes, you work for yourself, but yourself might not be that nice to you. And yourself might be meaner than the previous boss you had before, because you can force yourself to just work constantly. When's the last time you had that validation? Never. Okay, great. Let's change that. All right. Who do you have access to that you could talk to about this? When's the last time you socialized with someone who wasn't a family member? And that is a terrifying question to ask entrepreneurs, but sometimes it's months. So starting to habituate that. All right, so what are some easy weekly social activities you go to that are a short commute, that are easy, that are comfortable, that you feel that you actually want to do? All right, let's establish one of those. Let's establish two of those. Let's establish three of those. Let's establish four of those. And so now you have someone who is exercising better, sleeping better. I have a bunch of questions around sleep as well. Has a better diet, has a better social life. He's able to now switch off at 7 p.m. and then at 6 p.m. and then at 5 p.m. and then at 4 p.m. And so now the quality of the decisions are significantly improved, because it's not free. If you're burnt out, your decision-making quality tanks. And you would rather work less and make better decisions than work more and make worse decisions. Like, it's a very easy trade. And yeah, in 6 months, she was down to 0 hours a week in the business and did that for 3 months. That was fine. But she actually just sent me a message today that she'd just gone through her second maternity leave and she had a second job.
I love that. I love that.
Yeah, so after that project, I was like, oh my God, this is so this is the best thing ever. I want to do
I
as many of these
know.
projects as I can.
Oh, that's so nice. Like you're literally like the godfather of that kid, but he doesn't know it. Or you know what I mean? It's like, and also for women, you know, the more stressed we are, the more effed up our hormones will be, and it's harder for us to get pregnant. So, literally, you might be the fairy godfather of that baby. He just,
I'll take it.
oh, he or she just doesn't know it yet. But I love that story a lot because, especially of course, because I'm a woman, and there's different expectations between men and women in business and at home. And a lot of women feel like the world is on their shoulders whenever they run a business, and like they realize that now they have to be a mother. And of course, if you're also a wife, that's also another task or another identity that you have to take on. And sometimes a lot of women think it's so heavy carrying all these things. And so it's good to know that there's help and that there's people like you who help them. And to be honest, I'm impressed that you can even get these women to open up to you, like, you know, a man about these things. And that they're able to really see what you can bring to their lives as value. So I love that. I love what you shared about how, if someone is burnt out, the quality of the decisions that we make is bad. I love that line, and I want people to really reflect on that because I believe that the main job of a CEO or a founder is to make good decisions, and whatever leads to that is will all or will always be good for the company. So aside from like the basic stuff, like self-care, exercise or movement, socializing with people that are not your family, like actual socializing, what would be, say, one or two other surprising things that you would add in someone's personal life that if it is systematized, it will make a huge contribution to someone's happiness and someone's sense of maybe peace or ease?
So, I mean, improving the quality of your relationships by improving the quality time that you spend in those relationships has been a thing that my first client experienced this, and he said that his girlfriend noticed that he felt better and their relationship improved. And it's not a thing we address for 1 second. We just focus on the business. But being able to really turn off after a certain point and not be so frustrated and angry and annoyed,
Yeah.
disappointed and ashamed, and whatever cocktail of emotions you're, and not bring that to your partner, that can really help. And you can kind of support
That's
them and they
true.
support you. And you did it with your friends as well. But yeah, those are the main ones. Yeah. That's if you've got your exercise down, your diet down, your sleep down, your social life down, your relationship down, that pretty much is your life. Like, your life just is a lot more relaxing and comfortable and good at that point.
Yeah.
Because, if your business is in a terrible space, your personal life will also be in a terrible space. And if your personal life is in a terrible space, your business will be in a terrible space. No one is going through a divorce and having a successful business at the same time. No one is having financial bankruptcy issues and just keeping it all together, with personal life. Like, it will bleed over. And so this is important to manage your business properly. It's important to manage personal life properly. And fortunately, it's a lot easier to manage your personal life. It's a lot less complicated. It's a lot more simple. You only
A lot
really
of
have
things you
one
can
person.
control. Yeah.
Business gets complicated pretty quickly. Personal life, I mean, relationships are complicated, but not much else is.
Yeah. I love that point because like what you said, if you kind of work on yourself and keep at it, basically, you also get to have this ripple effect of improving your relationships with the people around you. And if you're in a good mood, they're in a good mood, you add more value to their lives, you make them happy. And this good mood just kind of, you know, ripples. I think two things that I would add to that maybe is that maybe it could also be a jumpstart for other people to explore deeper relationships with maybe something spiritual, and that is like an opportunity that I think is also very refreshing. Or no, I think refreshing is too light of a word, but maybe like invigorating, you know, to someone running a business, having a family. I think once someone has systematized life, their personal life and their business, that is something that they now will start to probably think about and improve on. And the other thing that I also think about is contributing to community, right?
Yeah.
Like, when do you really start thinking about things such as environmentalism or sustainability or whatever charity you want to support? That is when you have your stuff in order, your business
Yep.
doing well, right? Your relationships, your health. And then you're like, what else can I do? And you're more inspired to give to others. And I
Yes.
think that is another positive ripple benefit of what people get when they work with someone like you. So let's talk about your career, because I'm so curious, Kieran. In one line, how do you introduce yourself to others, and what are people usually surprised about when they hear about what you help people with?
So in a line, I just say my LinkedIn tagline, I help digital entrepreneurs free up time through increased efficiency. I mean, if you don't run a business, you don't know what that means, and it's not important for you to know what that means. So I just don't really bother explaining because I don't care. But what are people surprised about? I mean, that I would work with mompreneurs, that's surprising to people. Apparently, you're only allowed to work with people who are who you are, right? So I only have to work with, I can only work with Australian men who are interested in efficiency. It's like, why? Australian men are a pain in the ass to work with, by comparison, by the way.
Yeah, I think all of your exes told me that. In the
Sure.
Google form, just kidding.
Yeah. But I guess the surprise people would have is just how organized I am about literally everything. I have a standard operating procedure for everything you could possibly imagine, and a bunch of stuff you're just like, do you have a standard operating procedure for that? How? Why?
For
What?
pooping.
Who? So there is a better way to poop, right? I didn't write it down, but it exists.
Guys, you got to pay for that information. We're not giving that away here for free.
Yeah. But like when I meet up with someone, if they tell me something, if I don't write it down, it means that I have absolutely no intention at all of doing whatever it was that we were just talking about. That's what that means. I write down everything. And consequently, I have a really, really good memory, but I don't have to use it at all, ever. I have it, it's written down, it's all there. I can go through it the next day. This is what I'm supposed to do. All right, this is the task. This is reference information. This is the project plan. This is the goal. This is whatever else. And quite efficiently cycle through all this stuff. I don't forget anything ever. I don't miss anything ever, right? Everything is in my calendar or my task list or notes that I'll write down. And it's awesome. The downsides of this are nothing. My life's just way easier than yours is and way less stressful consequently too, right? But I guess that kind of blows people out. It's like, all right, cool, let's meet up for coffee. It's like, great, what day, what time, what place? Can I message on the day? Absolutely not. Right, what's your best email address? I'll send that through. Okay, and here's a message to get an RSVP, right? That is the best possible way to establish, a social interaction. With a maximum likelihood of the person actually shows up to the right time at the right place, and so on, right? That is the best way of doing it that exists, and I know because I've tried multiple ways of doing it. So that kind of surprises people. The Aura Ring stuff and that I track all this in a spreadsheet, they feel a little bit uncomfortable at that. But yeah, just how detailed my social planning is, I think that is the most unusual to people, which is fine. I can be unusual.
Yeah, exactly. Who told you that I will be normal? Like, first of all, I'm an entrepreneur. I'm already crazy. Let's
Yeah.
start with that. Like, well, for me, you know, as a woman, I definitely endorse, you know, if you're a woman, if you're a lady listening to this, I endorse this organization way more because our hormones can be crazy. And getting your health in order and tracking as much as you can really definitely helps with your mood. I also read this important, really, really good article called Your Hormones Are Lying to You, which is can also be a reference point for men. You know, if you have a wife, a girlfriend, dealing with women and their moods and how their hormones affect that. And I realized that what really helped me is the same thing. I organized everything. I read about what supplements, what how many milligrams of each supplement is the best way to take it, what time of the day. I Google all of that and I started to feel better, and I started to, you know, I organize everything. I have my pill box, my organizer and all of that, and life just kind of flows and it's nice. I definitely have other people that are telling me that it's crazy. Oh, you're too, you know, it's too much. Just take life. You take life seriously, but actually, no, this is how I make life more fun, because then I
Yeah,
have space.
Carlo, just make your life worse. Why don't you just make your life worse so I don't feel insecure that I'm not taking these actions?
Exactly.
Just have a worse mood, a worse energy, a worse mental clarity, right? Why are you doing all these things?
Absolutely. No, it's like, and then they wonder why I have time to run multiple businesses, multiple Airbnbs, and cook and play the guitar and have a podcast and sleep 8 hours. Like, I
Yeah.
told you what I do. And all you say is, oh, you're such a Virgo. And like, which is humor me, Kieran. By the way, what is your zodiac sign?
Leah, of course, the best one.
Oh, interesting. Okay. So, I think that's the scariest thing, a really organized Leo. Honestly, I think that is the scariest thing. I think women right now should put a ban on organized Leo on their dating apps because you scare me.
Sure.
Anyway, well, that's really fun. So, give us a takeaway. What is your, I think obviously the biggest advice is like start now, but what maybe do you have any other resources, apps that you recommend, or people to follow, of course, aside from you, that has really changed your life for the better that we can share with our listeners?
Yeah, so in terms of an approachable book, Zen to Done is
Zen to Done.
relatively easy to read and then implement. It's a much, much simplified version of Getting Things Done, which is, you know, the Bible of all this stuff, but really is complicated. So that's a book that can start to get you personally very organized, and you can apply the exact same things to your business. Apply it to your personal life probably first, because it's easier, and apply the exact same things towards your business. All the time management, operations management, efficiency books are good. Like they're all fine. The clockwork or something like that is good. Traction's probably a bit much. Might be overkill, but you know, it's also good. And yeah, maybe as an exercise, list out everything that you're start tracking your time. What are you actually spending the time doing?
Time audit,
And then, yeah. And you'll learn insane things. You do this just for 24 hours. Like, what did I do every 30 minutes of the last 24 hours? You'll learn an insane amount of information. What that? Like, okay. Let's not go crazy with it, but what is the lowest hanging fruit that I can just snatch off of this and free up some time there? Does it really take me 4 hours to go through my emails? Really? Could I get that down to 3 hours? And if you can, that's an hour a day you just saved, right? You just saved 5 to 7 hours a week. Just with whatever is the easiest thing to remove. It doesn't have to be, you know, to get it to the 99th, 100th percent is complicated and difficult, but you can make a lot of progress a lot easier by just saying, right, what's the easiest thing to improve and free up time from?
No, I love that. Go for the lowest hanging fruit. Have actually start organizing and looking at your day with an objective eye. I think that's very important. Sometimes we don't do that because we don't want to face the truth, because the truth is scary. Like before, I used to watch a lot of TV. Then when I realized how unhealthy that was and how I could I also equally enjoy reading books, and why don't I just do that? So I just started to shift my entertainment. And then the other thing that also helped me is that really inspires me to organize my life more with my business and my personal life is I don't want to be a person with dead dreams. I have a lot of crazy dreams. One of these dreams is this podcast, actually. I'm almost 2 years in, and this podcast makes me super happy. And I always tell my husband, if we win the lottery, I think the podcast is the only thing I'll keep because I love having these conversations. But I have other dreams too. I started picking up the guitar again. The last time I played was when I was 15. So that's a very long time ago. I wanted to learn how to play the piano. I took up some lessons. I learned golf in my mid-30s. And I really love it, but I have these things. I want to win a huge poker tournament. I used to play poker professionally. I want to play again and win a huge tournament. And I don't want to be the person who, years from now, I don't want to just think I should have done that, And this is actually my main motivation. And I don't want to be limited by my business. Even the mere fact that I never thought that I would be able to cook this one dish and now I can cook it. It's such a huge win for me, and it makes me so happy. And that's my main motivation in systematizing my life, my business, and always putting that effort. So tell me a little bit about this boxing thing. Are you competing?
Yeah, I won. I did an amateur boxing fight. I TKO'd the other guy in 3 minutes. It was
Oh
fantastic.
my God, that's insane. That you are a scary Leo. Yeah. Are you gonna be the next Manny Pacquiao? Is that really why you moved to the Philippines to be a boxer?
No. The threshold for getting good enough to win an amateur fight and the threshold between getting good enough to be the 57th best professional fighter in the world is probably 10,000% more effort and time and 0.1% improvement in like actual life satisfaction. Like, no. So no, I'm not going to bother doing that. And the same approach to ukulele. I know I can play ukulele well
Nice.
enough to impress someone on a date. And
Right.
that's about it, which by the way, takes about 5 hours total across your entire life to get that good. Playing
Oh.
professionally on stage is like a pointless level of optimization for stuff like
Yeah.
that. And
Yeah.
most personal life things are like that, right? You get most out of it in like 5 or 10 hours of effort. It's not that difficult.
Yeah. Yeah. Anything else that's on your dream list or something? Bucket list of skills that you want to do?
I want to headline a paid stand-up comedy show, and I
Ooh.
probably will do that in like the next 6 months.
Nice.
I organized the only English stand-up comedy in Philippines,
Thank you so
and
much, by the way.
a lot of Filipinos who can perform pretty well in English too, though they're afraid to. But the level of comedy is actually pretty good, so I'll probably do that about the next 6 months. So that should be exciting, and I want to publish a novel, so that'll be good.
Oh my God, I love that. I love that so much. Well, thank you so much, Kieran, for sharing all your thoughts with us. I learned a lot, and I felt really good because it helped me, it helped me remind myself that I'm doing these things for a reason, and it's not just a simple fact of, oh, I'm being efficient and gain more time. It's like I think that deeper sense of joy and fulfillment is it's an ROI that ROIs forever. So, I want people to know where they can find you, your work, and possibly follow all these awesome things that you're doing and your comedy shows.
So the website is mompreneurtimehacks.com, MOM, mompreneurtimehacks.com. And you can follow me. I post content on LinkedIn, Kieran Browning, or on Instagram, Kieran Browning One, or on Facebook, Kieran Browning, or on YouTube, Kieran Browning Consulting, where I'll post like quick clips that are relevant for how mompreneurs specifically can free up time specifically.
Okay, perfect. So I'm gonna link all of those important links on the show notes, guys, so it's easy for you to find Kieran. And if you have a friend who's a mom and you think that they will benefit from Kieran's work, definitely share it with them. It could change their lives. It will really, you could be a blessing to other people today. To your mom friend, it would really mean a lot to them that you're able to help them, and then that you're also thinking about them. So Thank you so much, Kieran, for your time. I learned a lot, and I'm super excited to see you and your comedy shows when I get to the Philippines.
That's good. Thanks for having me, Carlos. Right.
All right. Thank you so much. Bye, guys, and see you next week for another episode of None of Your Business.
So it's a wrap. To my entrepreneur friends, I hope that you found this episode interesting and enjoyable. I know I did. Big thanks to our sponsor, Proximity Outsourcing, for making this possible. If you need to outsource anything in your business so you can scale fast and easy, visit proximityoutsourcing.com and check out their solutions. If there's any topic that you want to request, feel free to reach out. I only have two conditions. You tell me why you find it interesting, and you promise it's not business talk. Find us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and YouTube, and leave us a comment or review because you're cool like that. This is your host, Carla, and thank you so much for joining me. Thank you for your interest in fun stories. Now we can get back to business. See you next week. And remember, everything here is none of your business.